God's word for today is from John chapter 19, verse 28. Chapter 19, verse 28. That is on page 906 in Pew Bible. John 19, verse 28. This is the reading of God's word. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, "I am thirsty." Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would grant us an ear to hear, so that our faith will grow, that we'll be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. Through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord. And we ask that you will bless the preaching of your word, that it will be preached correctly, and that you will be with all of us who are hearing your word, that we may hear and understand and believe and also obey your word. We ask that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, every time I came here, we're looking at the seven sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Today, we're looking at the fifth saying. Time really flies. The first saying, "Father, forgive them." Jesus Christ speaks of the forgiveness of our sins. He is paying for our sins as he dies on the cross. He's dying in our places. Second saying, "You shall be with me in paradise." Our salvation is a salvation from sin, and it is also salvation from this world. We are saved out of this world, and we are delivered into the kingdom of God. In that glorious place, we are with Jesus Christ forever and ever. The third saying, "Woman, behold your son, behold your mother." Right underneath of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, a new family has been formed. The family of God, the heavenly family, the eternal family, and through church life, we witness this reality. And the fourth saying that we saw last time, my God, why have you forsaken me?" On the cross, our Lord is forsaken by the Father. Jesus Christ is dying the eternal death. He experiences the total hellish eternal rejection of God because he is bearing our sins. Because God has forsaken his own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, now in him, God receives us to his presence forever. So we come to the fifth saying today. And we read it already, John chapter 19, verse 28. Jesus says, "I am thirsty." Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8 says, "Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God became a man and bore our sins and died on the cross, paying for our sins, receiving the eternal judgment of God on our behalf. And that is what we are looking at as we see him cry out, "I am thirsty." Being thirsty. This is a picture of God's judgment. Isaiah 29 verse 8 says, "It will be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he is eating, but when he awakens, his hunger is not satisfied. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he is drinking, but when he awakens, behold, he is faint, and his thirst is not quenched. Thus, the multitude of all the nations will be who wage war against Mount Zion." Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 and 48. "Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in the lack of all things." Hosea chapter 2, verse 3. "I will also make her like a wilderness, make her like desert land, and slay her with thirst." Mark chapter 9, verse 43 talks about the hell as the unquenchable fire. Revelation chapter 20 shows us hell as the lake of fire and brimstone. You all know the story of the rich man and poor Lazarus. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. "Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores." Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony with this flame." It will become more clear as we look further, but here, when our Lord cries out, "I am thirsty," he is not saying this just because of his physical suffering, physical thirst. Of course, he was experiencing physical thirst. But more importantly, there is the spiritual, the eternal thirstiness. Do you remember Jesus also said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And right after Jesus says, "I am thirsty," Jesus is being forsaken by his Father, who is the source of living water. That is what hell is all about, eternal thirst. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, on behalf of his people, experiencing that hellish thirst for his people. The sinners who are under the wrath and the judgment of God, the sinners who are abandoned by God, the sinners who do not have fellowship with God, they will experience the eternal thirst in hell forever. And even before they go to hell, the sinners live a life of thirst. With all their money and wealth and power, they live a life that would never quench the thirst they have in their hearts. But here, Jesus Christ, He tastes that thirst for His people. Psalm 22, from verse 1 and verse 18, it is very clear that this is Messianic Psalm. And verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you lay me in the dust of death. Jesus is thirsty for the fellowship with God the Father. Psalm 42, verse 1 through 3, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? And Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God, I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Like we said, being thirsty is a picture of judgment of God. But the opposite of the judgment is meeting with God, communion with God, fellowship with God. And this is what God promises to His people, even from the Old Testament. Isaiah 44, verse 3, for I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And how does God fulfill this purpose, this promise? Through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 7, verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And verse 39 tells us that that water points to the Holy Spirit that God gives us. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Jesus says in Revelation 21 verse 6, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to those who thirst from the spring of the water of life without cost. Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, thirsty, come. Let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. You see, heaven is a place where there will be no more thirst. No one in heaven will be thirsty. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun be down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this is our present spiritual reality. During the Old Testament Exodus, God gave water from the rock to His people who were journeying through the wilderness. The same God gives us the living water to us in Jesus Christ. But there is this already and not yet aspect to our spiritual reality. Already we live the life of heaven where there is no thirst. But not yet. We still thirst for Jesus Christ. We thirst for the day when we are able to see Him face to face. And in Jesus Christ, for all those who are in Jesus Christ, this thirst is no longer judgment. It is actually blessings of heaven. Let us look at a very familiar story. The woman at the well in John chapter 4. Let us go there together. John chapter 4. I'm going to read to you from verse 13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." You already know her. She came to well to get some water. But we read in chapter 4 that she came to well at the noontime, when the sun is most bright. That's not the usual time that people come to well. But we understand that why she comes to well at that time. She wants to avoid meeting people. She's an outcast. At the time, this woman, nobody wants to have fellowship with this woman. But she comes to get water. And Jesus says that He will give her this water, and once you drink it, you will never thirst. She really wants this water. But look at what Jesus Christ says to her in verse 16. He says to her, "Go call your husband and come here." What is Jesus doing? Well, He is dealing with her sins. Because this water that Jesus offers, you could only drink it with the cup of repentance and faith. Think about this. She married 5 times, and now she doesn't even bother to marry. Think about it. First time when she's getting married, can you just picture her? How happy she was, and how hopeful she was. But Our story doesn't tell us why they were divorced, but the husband left. The disappointment. But she marries again, second time. Again, she is very happy, very hopeful. But it didn't work out. He left again. Third time, a little less hopeful, a little less joyous, but still, but he left again. The fourth, see, we kind of understand why she doesn't even bother to marry anymore, but just live with a man. But Jesus Christ, He comes to her when no one wants to even have fellowship with this woman. Disappointment that Jesus is meeting her, this was planned even before the creation. And He comes. And He gives this water to this woman. But what we read at the end is that she is very satisfied. But what we're seeing here is that if you're familiar with the story of Old Testament, you will know that these famous people in the Old Testament, they find their bride at the well. Isaac found his bride at the well, Jacob, and even Moses. The true husband now comes to this woman and marries her at the well. And that is what is happening. This eternal husband, this woman meets at the well, He will never disappoint her. And this woman is completely satisfied. She drinks of this water, and she will never thirst again. And that wedding has already happened to you. This is your story. This is your reality. You met this husband. This husband who cried out, "I'm thirsty," on the cross for you. He gave you this living water so that you and I will never thirst again. This husband will never disappoint you. This husband will never leave you. And you know how much He loves you. He already shows you. He loved and He loves you with His life. His bride, you and I, will never thirst again. Because He experienced this thirst on the cross for us. Verse 28 says, "So the woman led her water pot and went into the city and said to men, 'Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?' The woman who were afraid to meet people now goes into the town and tells all of them about this husband that she has met. And our verse says that Jesus said, "I'm thirsty," to fulfill the scripture. Perhaps this verse has in mind Psalm 69, verse 21. Even on the cross, our Lord's pleasure is to do the will of the Father. How about you? The Bible tells us what kind of people we are in Jesus Christ. It tells us the will of our Heavenly Father toward us and His church. Are you anxious to fulfill the will of God? What is amazing is that as we think about what Jesus Christ has done, Jesus, of course, is God, so He's everywhere, but there's this sense that Jesus is waiting for you in heaven, your eternal husband. And He thirsts for you right now, even as we thirst for Him. Are you thirsty for Him? As you come to the table of the Lord tonight, it is Jesus Christ who gives Himself to you. And He clearly shows our heavenly reality, how we could come to His table and sit with Him and eat and drink with Him. Who will be satisfied? And I pray that all of us who participate in the Lord's Supper, that you will realize that you don't thirst anymore, because you have fellowship with your God, your Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, He loves you. He thirsts for you. He cannot wait until that day that we meet Him and see Him face to face, just as we cannot wait until that day. But until that day, He provides so that we will see what our heavenly reality is. This is already accomplished heavenly reality for us. So come with faith. Participate with faith and see what is truly happening. You know, what is it? Sometimes it's so hard for me to grasp this, understand this. What is it mean that I am coming to God and I'm sitting at His table with Him and I am eating and drinking with Him, having fellowship with my God? But this is my present reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for me. Even as I eat and drink of Him, I am satisfied, no longer thirsty, no longer hungry. And He will always satisfy us. Enjoy Him. Enjoy the fellowship with Him. Be satisfied. I told you last time I was here, when He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the last complaint of Christianity. After that, if we truly understand our Christianity, there will be no more complain. It's when we don't understand what God has given us already that there will be complaint. Realize how satisfied we are. And show that satisfaction out there. Even though you might not have much in this world, maybe you're not healthy, but we find our satisfaction in Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, let us show our satisfaction, our contentment, even as we come and participate in the Lord's Supper. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ we will thirst no more, because he experienced that thirst of hell on the cross for us, so that we may have the complete, perfect satisfaction of heaven in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let us witness how satisfied we are in Christ and in Him alone. No matter what circumstances that we face in our lives, let us show them that we are satisfied because of Christ. We thank you, God. And we love you. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.